right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I asked Brother Eric to sing that song because it goes right along. It is our text, what he was just singing, what we just sang together. Last Thursday, we saw how Mary had gone to Bethlehem with Joseph, and how she was great with child. And we pick up right where we left off in verse 6. It says, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." It's important to note that Christ was her firstborn son, because Christ is the firstborn son of God. Under the law, all the firstborn were consecrated to God. And that pictured Christ, the firstborn of God, who is consecrated to God. The scripture says he predestinated his people to be conformed to Christ's image, so that Christ would be the firstborn son among many brethren. We have one elder brother, Christ the firstborn. Now let's read on. Verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." This is where our song picked up, right here. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And an angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." It's not great joy to every person, but great joy to all ranks and classes of people. That's what he's talking about. All ranks and classes of people, all kinds of people. All right, read on. Verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Three more names here that is why he's great joy to us. Savior means he saved his people from our sins. He did it all. To be saved is to be saved. It's to have somebody else save you and do everything to save you. And he's the Savior. Christ means he's Messiah. He's the one promised. He's the one anointed. He's the one who came and fulfilled all the law and prophets for his people. No other held the office of prophet, priest, and king but Christ. He's that one of whom Moses the prophet typified, and who Aaron the high priest typified, and who David the king typified. But here's one who possesses them all. He's the Christ. And then he's the Lord. It means he has all authority and all power over all. He's to be worshipped as Lord, and he will be. Everybody's going to bow to him and confess he's Lord. Everybody, believers and unbelievers, in that day. Verse 12, "And this shall be a sign unto you." Do you remember the sign God gave to Ahaz back in Isaiah? Well, here he is. Look, "You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying," and here was the last verse of our song, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Now, This day called Christmas, we know, is a pagan holiday. It's a holy, called a holy day. And it had a pagan origin. There is no such thing as a holy day. We don't worship holidays. That's where the word holiday came from, holy day. We don't worship holy days. We worship Christ. We worship Christ. And we know this wasn't the day he was born. But I like it, and we like it, when anything makes men to acknowledge that God came into this world in human flesh to save his people. At least they have to think on this. At least they have to think on this. So I want to preach today out of verse 13 and 14. It says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now those are the lyrics to the song that we just sang. And there's a lot of folks this time of year that'll sing those words. And most people that sing those words have no idea what those words mean. There may be some here that's never given much thought to what those words mean. But those words, all three phrases in that statement, gives Christ all the glory. Gives Christ all the glory. They're directed at Christ. So I want to look at these three phrases, and I hope that after we hear this message, we'll sing those words with an all new meaning. Now, first of all, Christ is the glory of God. And he's the one his people glory in. Look at verse 14. Glory to God in the highest. This was the first thing they said. Glory to God in the highest. The sinless man, Christ Jesus, is himself God. He is God. As soon as that angel spoke of Christ, as soon as he spoke of Christ, that heavenly host appeared, and here's what it says they did. They went to praise him. They went to singing praises. To who? It said, praising God. And that one they were praising is God. He is God in the highest. And all glory belongs to him. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. I want you to hold that page. We're going to come back to it. Isaiah 9. Keep your spot there. We'll come back. But look at Isaiah 9 and verse 6. It says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You know how important that statement is? There was a child born that day, but there was not a son born that day. The Son of God was not born that day. The Son of God always existed. He's God. That's why it says there was a son given. You see, Christ was born as a human that day. I mean, he came forth that day as a human being, but the Son of God always existed. He's the child born, he's the Son given. He's God. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Romans 9:5 tells us this, Christ came, who is over all, God, blessed forever. That's who he is. He's God. And that's so important because Christ is eternal God. And why that's so important is it means everything he did for his people is eternal. Because he's eternal, his work is eternal. And so we have eternal redemption because of him. And then look, that heavenly host said, glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. The glory of God is manifest in Christ Jesus. Do you remember where Moses was put by God whenever God showed Moses his glory? Look over at Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Exodus 33 and verse 21. The Lord said, Exodus 33:21, the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by that I'll put thee in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by." You know when a sinner's going to see God's glory? When God puts him in Christ and makes him behold by faith. Of God, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Of God are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us glorious. It's of God. That's why we sing, "He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand." The glory of God that's revealed in Christ is all God's attributes. Now we see it's all the glory is manifest by Christ, and it's all God's glory. And then the glory that's manifest is all God's attributes in how God can save His people and be just. That's the glory of God, how He can save His people and be just. That's how all His attributes are manifest. Look at Exodus 33, verse 6. Exodus 33, verse 6. I'm sorry, Exodus 34, verse 6. Exodus 34, 6. "The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord.'" This is His glory now. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." What about the fact that all those He saves broke His law? What about His justice? And that will by no means clear the guilty. Now, if you don't hear anything else, hear this. This is the gospel. And I want you to hear this. Everybody that came from Adam, that's everybody, we died in Adam. We became legally guilty and we were born in sin. We became unjust in Adam. Now, everybody God saves, that is who we are as in ourselves, in Adam. We're unjust. We're guilty. So here's the question. How then can God forgive His people and by no means clear us of our guilt? You see, if He just forgives us, but He doesn't honor His law, His law says you got to die. His law says I have to die. If He just forgives me but He don't honor that law, the whole purpose for which Christ came is made null and void. He's no longer righteous and His righteousness is not manifest. His mercy, His forgiveness is at the expense of His justice, and that makes Him unrighteous. And then if He just pours out justice and shows me no mercy, I still don't see His glory because I don't see them in harmony together. But now, how can He forgive me and not let me go free as far as the law is concerned? How can He save me and slay me? How can that happen? The only way that could happen is by God sending His Son forth, who came forth to do that very thing for His people, to take our place. God sent Him forth to declare God's righteousness, that God's just, that He's just. And so Christ comes forth, and He gives Himself to be made sin, to bear the sin of His people in His own body on the tree. And so God is just to pour out wrath on Him. And by that, God has purged the sin of His people and totally put away the sin of His people so that God can look at Christ now and forgive us of all our sin because of what Christ did. And at the same time that Christ did that, He was upholding the justice of God so that God is just and He's the justifier. That's the only way God can be just and be the justifier. Now, let me state this to you. This is where religion, false religion, will hang you up. This was not accomplished when you believed. This wasn't accomplished when you and I believed. This was accomplished by Christ when he laid down his life. The scripture says, when he had by himself purged our sins. That's past tense. That's when he did this work. Then he sat down at God's right hand. Scripture says he entered in with his own blood into heaven, in the holy place, and having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's past tense. He has perfected forever, past tense, those that are sanctified. He did this himself. Our faith don't make it to have happened. It don't make it effectual. He made that work effectual. Now you think about what that means. God was so just in the way he saves his people. That tells you and me, God will never do anything to us that is unjust. God will never condemn an innocent man, ever. He won't do it. If he ever did it once, we'd be afraid he'd do it again. He won't do it. Even his son, he made sin to be found on him so that he could justly pour out wrath on him. That tells you and me that once he's put away our sin, he won't ever condemn us again. Because he's a just God. That's the whole reason Christ came forth. You think about this. If you had a son, and that son was innocent, you knew he was innocent of this crime, and he goes before a judge, and that judge imputes the crime to him anyway and says, no, you're guilty. Well, you and I would say that judge is not just. He's innocent. Well, for God to impute sin to somebody that Christ has put that sin away for, that he's totally purged, that would be unjust. And he's a righteous God. He won't do that. When he's imputed righteousness to you, it's because Christ has made us the righteousness of God. So he's going to come forth and declare that to everybody for whom Christ died. Listen to this. I'll publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He's the rock, and his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He's just and he has salvation. He's just, his law is upheld, and he saves. He shows mercy. How does he come? Who is this king? He comes lowly, riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. You know who that is, don't you? It's Christ. Just and the justifier. So in the salvation of God's people, you know who gets all the glory? God does. God does. Christ, our God, gets all the glory for saving his people. Every bit of it. We don't get any. He gets it all. That's any man that wants to have some glory for doing anything and be praised for doing anything in salvation is disannulling the whole reason why God created this world and sent his son to do the work his people couldn't do. He's disannulling the whole reason God raised his son and sent this gospel forth in the world. He did it to show his glory and declare his glory, not to give us glory. Behold, the scripture says, behold, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever. Glory to him. Now, secondly, these men not only said glory to God in the highest, they said on earth, peace. On earth, peace. You and I ever seen peace on earth? You ever seen peace on earth? Never. Not since Adam fell. Not since Adam fell. It wasn't very long after that what happened. An animal was slain. Not long after that, a man was slain. Men been slain ever since. Wars fighting against one another. But that day Christ came, there was peace on earth. Because Christ is that peace. He is that peace. Now go back with me over there to Isaiah 9. Having seen that Christ gets all the glory and set forth the glory of God, it's easy to see how He's our peace. Look at this, Isaiah 9, 6. It says this. It says there at the end, He is the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. That means He's judging His kingdom right now, those that are still in the earth. He's judging His kingdom that are already in glory. And one day we're going to all be with Him in glory, and nothing's going to change. This earth's going to pass away, but He's still going to be judging us. And it's still going to be His kingdom, and we're still going to be in peace. Look at this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You know the main reason that this country right now is so divided? I'll tell you the main reason. Every one of us, it don't matter if you're Democrat or Republican or independent or whatever, every one of us do not have any peace that our political rulers are working in wise judgment and doing that which is just. That's the number one reason. You can't have peace when that's the case. You cannot have peace when that's the case. But you know what God's people have? We have peace. Because our King is wise. He does everything in judgment. He is wisdom. And He does everything justly. And He does it for us, His people. So we got peace. Everything, even, I said last time, everything's being worked in this earth right now. Even things that men do that are unjust, our King is ruling that to do what's just for His people. And one day He's going to take us out of this world and we're going to behold His kingdom gathered fully where everything is just pure judgment and justice and perfect. And will be perfect. It'll be wonderful, won't it, to have a King that always does justly. We have that now. We have that now. You know, you don't have to get upset with folks and worry about what the president or the vice president or anybody in the Senate or the Congress or any of these people are going to do. We got a King ruling them. And He's ruling His kingdom, His people, for us. For us. We have peace. Listen to this. Micah 5:2 says, "Thou Bethlehem Ephratah." He's personifying this city where Christ was born, in Bethlehem. "Thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, among all the little cities, little towns of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me," God said, "that is to be ruler in Israel." And that's who He's ruler. And when I speak of His kingdom, His elect, Jew and Gentile, I'm telling you, He's ruler in spiritual Israel over His people. "Whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting." That says He's God. And listen to verse 5. "And this man shall be the peace." This man shall be the peace. He's the peace. "In Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace." Colossians 1:20 says, "Having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Him." You know what happens in God's appointed hour? Because Christ has made peace between God and His people on the cross, and God's just, so God's going to have mercy on His people. There's an hour appointed by God when He's going to send this word to every one that Christ died for. Each one individually. Wouldn't it be amazing if He was doing that today? I hope He's doing that today. And He's going to come with that gospel. Christ is. You know what He's going to do? Ephesians 2:7 says, "He came and He preached peace to you." Came and He preached peace to you. You know, you sit there and you hear that gospel and boy, you clench your fist and your heart's mad. And you look down, you try to do anything else but think on it. You just don't like it. And then Christ comes And he starts preaching in the heart, and he preaches peace to you. And all of a sudden, that gospel is the sweetest thing you ever heard in the world. Peace. Peace. And then when he does that, you start telling people about him. And you start glorifying him. And you know who gave you that? You know who made you do that? He said in Isaiah 57:19, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace. To him that's far off and to him that's near, saith the Lord, and I'll heal him. He gives that word, peace, peace. And he makes you speak peace. Now, here's my question. Is there anybody sitting here right now who does not have peace with God? You ever heard a man say, well, I made my peace with God. Buddy, you can't make your peace with God. Only one can do that. That's Christ. But here's what I'm telling you right now. If you passed into judgment right now, today, you going to have peace with God? Come to Christ. He's the only way you can have peace with God. Come to Christ. Cast your care on Him. Believe on Him. Trust Him. I stand here right now as an ambassador for Christ, like Paul said. And I'm sitting here beseeching you in Christ's stead. Be you reconciled to God. He's reconciled His people, and He's going to send this gospel, and He's going to speak this word into your heart. And when He does it, you're going to do it. I pray He's doing this. But I'm standing here in His behalf saying to you, be you reconciled to God. Quit fighting against God. That's what I'm saying. Believe on Him. I pray He'll do it. You'll find out. It's because He's spoken peace to you, and He's worked peace for you, and you'll have peace. Now, here's the last thing. Christ is the goodwill of God toward men. They said goodwill toward men. Christ is God's goodwill toward men. Now, most in religion, all false religion is taken up with one thing. I'm going to tell you what the message is. Man's will. That's the message, man's will. They give lip service to grace and to maybe even the true doctrine of grace. They might give lip service to it. Maybe they talk about Christ a little, things like that. But it's always made to make the people sitting in the pew think that it's by your will that you're going to be saved. By your will in coming to Him, by your will in doing some work, by your will somehow, it's all going to be by your will. But I'm telling you here today, the message of this book is not about your will. The message of this book is about God's will. It's about God's will in saving sinners who are unwilling. That's the message of this book. That's the message of this book. By God's will. Now, you can write these down if you want to. I've got about 3 or 4 to give you. But you can turn there if you want. By God's will, He chose whom He would and predestinated us to be conformed to Christ, to be His adopted children. Look at Ephesians 1. I don't know if you can get to all these, but if you can, Ephesians 1:3. And if you can't, jot them down. Ephesians 1:3. Listen to this now. You know it very well. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's all of them. You can't get another one. All spiritual blessings. He gave us all of them in Christ in the beginning. According as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to what? The good pleasure of His will. That's His good will toward men. God's good will toward men started in eternity, when He chose His people in Christ and blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That was His good will. Remember what He told Moses? I will have mercy on whom I will. And I will have compassion on whom I will. And so then, it's not of you that runneth, or that willeth. It's not of your will. It's not of your running. It's not of your doing. is God choosing whom he will. And he chose us in Christ because God doesn't choose his people irrespective of a good work. There had to be a work done. And that's why he blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Christ's the one that come forth and do all those works. So he blessed us in righteousness. He blessed us justly. He blessed us holy, in a holy way, because Christ would do everything to make it so. But God shows mercy to whom he will. See, again, this is bringing us to his mercy, to cast ourselves on his mercy. We can't come to God or think in our mind, I'm going to be saved in a way other than how God says he's saved. We got to come to God and ask mercy. That's it. All right, here's the second thing. By God's will, Christ delivered all his elect on the cross. Galatians 1:4 says Christ gave himself for our sin. Galatians 1:4 says Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. But it's God's will. That's what you look at Calvary's cross and you behold God's will. God's good will toward men. And he did it. He delivered his people from this evil world by what he did. And then James 1:18 tells us this. James 1:18 says it's by God's will that we're born again. By God's will we're born again. Of his own will, of God's own will, begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. It's of his will. And then listen to this, Ephesians 1:11. By God's will, he works everything together in this world to save us and to give us our inheritance. And that's by God's will, working everything in this world. Look, Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. I'm beginning to see that this book is about God's will. It's not about my will, is it? Well, 2 Peter 3:9 says this, by God's will, Christ is holding this world in place right now because it's God's will that his justice be honored. Well, I thought you said his justice had been honored on the cross. Well, there's something else that's got to be done for his justice to be honored. Because his justice was honored on the cross, now he's got to call out everybody he justified. Every one of them. He can't lose one of them. He's got to call them all out. And that's what he's doing. He's long-suffering towards his people right now because he's going to call them all out. Because that's his will. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He hadn't gone back on his promise to come again. He's going to come again. Well, why hadn't he come yet? He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Look at verse 15. Account. Impute. Impute that the long-suffering of our Lord is just as if it's salvation. Is that what imputation is? God treating you like you're something? No. Imputation is what you are by a prior act. So God says here, because of this long-suffering, because of God's will, because of Christ dying for his people, he's going to call all his people. So you impute that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. It will terminate in salvation. All his people will be saved. Well, is this a sure work? Yes, it is, by God's will. It's a sure work by God's will. Everything I'm saying is sure by God's will. Turn to John 6. John 6. John 6:37. It's a sure thing because it's God's will toward men, and God has given it all into Christ's hand to accomplish. That's how you know it's sure. Listen to this. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's all those he chose in Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's Christ's will. I will not cast them out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And therefore, by the will of God, our Lord Jesus our God says to Christ, because he's given all this power to Christ, and Christ working all his will. You know what God said to Christ? Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. That's all that can be said about our will. We were completely unwilling. We were unwilling. We were unwilling to give Christ all the glory and speak only of God's will. That's what we were unwilling to do. Well, when were we made willing to do that? When he gave us a will to stop talking about our will and talk about his will. When he made us willing, we stopped talking about our will and started talking about his. That's right. And start trusting him. So, do God's true saints boast in our will? Do we? No, we don't. We boast in his. Now, I want you to remember these words and the meaning to these words. When you hear glory to God in the highest, you remember, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, in whom all God's glory is seen. He's glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. When you hear that, remember, Christ is our peace. He is our peace. And when you hear goodwill toward men, remember, Christ is the fulfiller of all God's good will toward his people. Now, the next time we sing those words, I hope we'll sing them with a whole new meaning and think about them. Think about those words. You know, when we sing, really look at the words and pay attention to what those words say. There's a lot of meaning in these words, and they're written well. We don't sing songs that are not written well. There's one song we just sang Thursday night. I can't remember now which one it was, and I saw one line in it, and I thought, that needs to be rewritten. We talked about steps to heaven. There are no steps to heaven. When God made the temple, you remember, the altar, he said, you can't have no steps going up to it. If you're walking by steps, he said, you'll discover your nakedness. No, there are no steps. It's all Christ taking you there. But everything we sing is a faithful song. Think about the words to these songs. And especially during this season, when you hear that song sung, think about that. All right. There it goes.